Would you stand with me tonight? Genesis 26, 21 and 6. Genesis 21 and 6, one verse of Scripture. Genesis 21 and 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that will hear will laugh with me. God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will now laugh with me. I want to preach for a little while a laugh in the making. A laugh in the making. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for mercy, grace, and truth, endurance, long-suffering, peace, and joy. All the things that come down from above that can never be taken away from man. And Lord, the peace that you give us, you proclaimed is your peace, not somebody else's peace. The world can't give it, and the world can't take it away. We're thankful, Lord, for this day, this night, these people. And we're thankful, Lord, for your spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Lord, you may be seated. There's without doubt, no controversy, that humans are the most emotional people that there are, most emotional animals that there are. And some may argue that women are more emotional than men, but I've seen some pretty emotional men. I heard a few amen. There's no other mammal out there that laughs that I know of. They have the laughing hyena. I don't know if they really laugh, but I think I heard one over here somewhere. They're the laughing hyena, and then they have, you know, humans can cry. Now, they say that apes have some form of laughter and some form of cry, but I'm telling you what, there's no comparison to what a human can laugh. Have you ever laughed so hard you cried? Just laugh so hard. I have laughed so hard at times my cheeks hurt. I don't even want to think about it. It's just so funny. Y'all ever laugh? You remember in the 70s they had this laughing box? Does anybody old enough to remember the laughing box? Yeah, a few of y'all. And we used to take that to school. Now, not me, but some of those other brats would take it to school. And they had a little box. You can look it up. And you push a button. And they'd put it under their seat. And they would sit there when that laughing box... And it would start that laughing before long. And the whole class was laughing but the teacher. Everybody was laughing but the teacher. There's just something about laughing. You'll come up to somebody's telling a joke and you're walking, you're laughing, you don't even know what the joke's about. And you're, what are y'all talking about? And you're laughing with them. Amen. There's nothing in this world that we don't seek regarding pleasure. Amen. We have a pleasure center that God gave man, a pleasure center that no animal has. I told my wife the other day, her little dog got to where she likes me some. Her little dog didn't have anything to do with me. Now, let me tell you, Ariel loves me now. If she loves me. But for the first couple years, she saw Pawpaw, she was go over there. But we learned how to play. And now she'll say, bye, Mommy. Bye, Mama. Pawpaw and I are going to go to the camp. We have our little camp upstairs, and we play upstairs. And so... I just have pleasure in her pleasure. God has pleasure in his children's pleasure. What can you do for God? You can't really do anything for God, but when you do something for one of his, you do something for one of my children, I'm very pleased that you took time to tend to my children. And when you tend to each other and you see each other's need, God gets so much pleasure in that. And you know, we're bad about avoiding pain too. You know, I'm telling you, dentists would go broke if you needed a shot every time you would go to the dentist, because everybody hates pain. That needle ain't no longer than that. I mean, it's a little old sharp needle, and that people avoid pain. They'll let everything decay before they go get that little shot. But we also have great comprehension. I don't think there's any thing on earth like a mammal, I mean like a human, no mammals can comprehend like we can comprehend. Amen. But God also gave us something that nothing else has. It's a soul. Amen. He breathed into man, he gave him a living soul. Amen. Amen. Your soul belongs to God. He said, every soul that sinneth, it shall die, but every soul is mine, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But I want to talk about a laughter in the making. And I think it was Solomon said that laughter or a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. It takes the pain away. it kind of numbs you to the situation. When you really get a good laugh going, you forgot about the pain. You forgot about all of that. You know, when mothers have children, you know, they're in pain and anger. But when they had embraced that baby, there's a laughter that comes over them that you just forgot all the pain and all that. I want to live a life of laughter. I want to live a life that is so pleasing to God that it just makes me laugh. Now, stay with me tonight. I got a few points to give to you. There are several things that makes you laugh, and some things you just kind of laugh when you don't even know what something's about. But David said this. He said in one of his psalms, he said, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed." It was like a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter. When it actually happened, what we were dreaming about, you know, it's like, that ain't never going to happen. Can't see. But when it really happened, our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then say they among their heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. Amen. I want to live a life when someone sees me in Walmart, what are you laughing about? What are you so happy about? What's going on with you? Amen. I was standing at the food bar not long ago, and a lady came and said, "What you laughing about?" I said, "Oh, man, you wouldn't understand." Amen. The Lord has done some great things in my life, and I know He has in yours, of which we should be glad and grateful. You can dwell on the bad things if you want to, and your countenance will go, it'll go down. But there is a genuine laughter that I love in babies. I mean, babies laugh and they start laughing. It's so genuine. It's so pure because they don't even know what it's about. They just, you can just do anything, make them laugh, and then you start laughing. And what's you laughing? And you get so into it with their laughter. Amen. But as adults, we learn how to laugh. And we walk away. That wasn't funny at all. But we laughed with them. We laughed with them. "Hey, y'all come see us sometime." And you don't want them to come see you. "Good to see you." And you ain't good to see them. You tried to avoid them on aisle 13. We've learned that's phony laugh, this phoniness where we act happy when we're really not happy. "Oh, I'm blessed and highly favored." You don't act that way. Sometimes there are situations, though, stay with me, that are so serious that you laugh later. But at the time, it ain't funny. Someone's laughing. "That ain't funny." But give it some time. I'll never forget one time my dad was up in Tennessee trying to catch some of them rainbow trout. And Dad said, "Y'all stay here on the bank." He had his fly rod and a little fly bait. And he said, "I'm going to go out there a little way, see if I can catch one of those rainbow trout." He got out there and he found him a rock to stand on. Ooh, and y'all don't even know what happened yet, but it's funny. He got ready and he stood on that rock, and brother, his feet come out from him like that, and he hit the rock, and there was two little boys on the bank. My brother, and I, he got up and he said, "It ain't funny." But it was funny. I mean, his feet just went out like that. But boom, he hit that rock, and a bruise came. I'll never forget the sign. I never seen a bruise so big. Right, Mom? You amen me on that? I'm not making this up, am I? It wasn't funny, was it? But over time, now it took my dad a lot longer than most people. Over a few years, you remember that time y'all remember that time I was fishing on that rock there, that my feet slipped out from under me? You know, it got funny. But it wasn't funny. I'm talking about a laughter in the making. It wasn't funny when you was going through it, was it, brother? It wasn't funny when you had to go through it. But if you'll just give God some time and you'll keep enduring and you'll keep going on, there's things I look at my wife, she says, you remember that time? We laugh about it. It wasn't funny then. It wasn't funny then. You remember that time I got mad at you? And well, see, I've never been mad at her. Laughter in the making. No wonder the Bible says that the psalmist wrote this, "Weeping may endure for the night, when you're going through it, and that night season, I don't understand what's going on, but what comes in the morning? Joy is going to come in the morning. If you can just endure the pain of the night, if you can just endure the loneliness, and you remember back, man, I used to be so lonely. I used to be so pitiful, but thank God, and God will begin to get the glory out of the night season of your life. When the day begins to shine, you say, thank God that's over with. Hallelujah. And sometimes we laugh just because something's just funny. It's like a joke, you know, like you kind of, Boudreaux and Thibodeau, they're the funniest too. They're just so funny. Y'all want to hear? You're laughing and I haven't even said anything yet. Just say Boudreaux and Thibodeau, it makes you laugh, you know. But Boudreaux was passing by. He was passing by the cop station and he saw Tib coming out of that cop station. He said to Tib, he said, hey, Tib, what are you coming out of this police station for? You do something wrong or something like that? He said, no, man, I ain't done nothing wrong or nothing like that. He said, I came here to report something. He said, my pick-em-up truck got stolen out of my front yard last night, and I come here to give the police all the details. He said, oh, okay. He said, well, you must have got a good look at them guys that stole your pick-em-up truck. He said, no, man, I did better than that. I got the license plate. And Boudreaux said, how come I didn't think of that? Sometimes the stupidity of something becomes funny. It's the ridiculous. It's so ridiculous that it becomes funny. Yeah, like I'm going to grow all my hair back in the next 30 days. I'm going to comb it just like Brother Peter. It's ridiculous, huh? I'm going to grow 6 more inches too. Praise the Lord. I started to say something about losing weight, but I didn't want to say how much. Brother Petrie, you're going to be a billionaire by this time next year. And we all have a good laugh. A billionaire. What if I would have said that 20-member church 14 years ago that was $550,000 in debt, had $600 in the checking account, needed to put $250,000 in the building it was at to finish it. And the Lord said, in the future, you're going to occupy 16 acres and be in a $4.5 million building. And it's going to be paid for. We would have laughed. We would have said to you, we would have laughed. Oh, we would have just said, there's no way. Look, we haven't even finished this building. How are we ever going to... Did you hear Brother Magnus say that's the funniest thing? He's out of his mind. That's what God is waiting for you to think. He's out of his mind. Because God only does things that's out of your mind. As long as you think you can do it, it ain't going to get done. Well, what about these walls of Jericho? Look, you think we're going to march around. Sure, right. They're going to march around 7 times on the 7th day, blow trumpets. They're going to fall down. Never heard such a thing. God made them laugh. Look what the Lord has done. Woo, I never would have thought that. That's why he did that. David, he can't kill that giant. Look, we're going to lose for sure. We might as well start running now. It's a joke. You hear me? A joke to send that little dude out there to fight that giant. This is a joke. God made them laugh that day. Woo, he made them laugh that day. Boy, Israel came off that mountain, chased them. Woo, y'all better get to running. We got you now. It got funny all of a sudden. But he uses those things that look impossible in your life that you begin to doubt. Say, there ain't no way this is going to happen. I'm telling you right now, it ain't going to happen. And before it's all over with, you ought to see what the Lord did back. I'm telling you, I didn't know this was ever going to happen. I didn't even think it was possible. It never crossed my mind that this could happen. But look what the Lord has done. Elisha said in the time of a famine, he said, tomorrow about this time, 2 measures of barley for a shekel is going to be sold, a measure of fine flour for a shekel tomorrow about this time in the gates of Samaria. And the guy heard that, and he said, you're crazy. The one that leaned on the king, did you hear what he said? Only that happened if the windows of heaven would open. That's a good joke. He said, you're going to see it, but you ain't going to eat it. And God made them all laugh that next day because what he said he can do. Everything God says looks ridiculous. You hear me this tonight. Everything that God says you can't do, it takes him to do it. Him to do it, and you get to laugh. But it takes that night season, that time where you just can't see it's going to happen. Now, let me tell you, this is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. It's crazy. A 99-year-old man that is childless. The Lord visits this guy. Let's read some of it if you got time tonight. You're not going anywhere yet. So Genesis 17:1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That's a joke right there, right? I mean, perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. Wait a minute. This is a man that God has promised nations to come out of his loins, and families and tribes, and he can't even have one. That's a joke. It's a joke. And Abraham, now listen, it's a joke. Listen, this is how Abraham took this. We talk about him, father of faith. We skip this right here. And Abraham fell on his face. And God continued to talk to him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. And I don't know about you, because this is what he's saying, as for me. Now, I don't know about you, but as for me, I'm making you a promise. My covenant is with thee. I don't know, some of you have promises and things. God said, as for me, I'm still in this thing. As for me, I bound it a long time ago. It's up to you now. He said, as for me, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father. Oh, you've got to be kidding me, of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thou shalt be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Yeah? Oh, my goodness. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. He don't know my daddy. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed that I don't have after thee and thy generations for an everlasting covenant to be the God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger in the land of the Canaan, that fruitful land over there. See if I'm going to get there. For an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin. That ain't so funny, but he said, oh, right, sure. And it shall be a token but the covenant between me and thee. Let me tell you, every time God gives you a covenant, a token, there's some pain involved. Now watch verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarah anymore, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her, right, and give thee a son also of her. Sure. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, king of the people shall she be of her. And Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. That great man of faith. Reason I believe he fell down the first time, Brother Gibson, he was hiding his face. I've heard this before. Because see, he's 99. He was 90 when that first promise came. He was 90. 90 when he got that first promise come out there. And he was 75 when he left Haran. Left his father. 75. When the Lord began to tell him what he was going to do with him. And I'm sure at 75 he thought, well, it's a possibility. It's getting less and less, but it's a possibility. But when you're 99... It's like, it's a joke. Here he is again telling me what he told me at 75, and he told me again at 90, and it ain't happened yet. It's a joke. See, that's what Peter and James and John and all of them decided when Jesus was crucified and he didn't make his kingdom on the earth. They looked at each other and said, it's a joke. It was a joke. What were we thinking? Let's go fishing. And they all went fishing. Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, let me help you. God, let me help you out. I might can still have kids, but she can't. Because look, I got Ishmael. So how about Ishmael? He might live before you. And God says, surely Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Laughter. Isaac means laughter. Now you know why I saw Isaac walking up. I said, there goes Laughter right there. I told her that. She said, what do you mean? I said, you'll find out. You'll find out. Call his name Laughter, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. But my covenant will I establish with Isaac, and Sarah shall bear unto thee at this a set time in the next year. We're getting more finite after. It's been 24 years. 24 years! Talk about a long night season, and you're wanting God to answer you just like that. 24 years. Well, let me tell you, if you've gone 24 years, one more won't hurt. Isaac would be the one that would bring Laughter into the household. After 24 years of sad and trying to find a way to help God with this promise, he said, well, Eleazar's in my house. He's one of my servants, and anyone born in my house, well, that can be the one. And the Lord said, I said out of Sarah's womb. Then he comes back with Ishmael. You know, Ishmael, he is my son. I said Sarah's womb. God was waiting until, listen close, God was waiting until Abraham and Sarah could not fulfill the promise. He was waiting until they could not. They couldn't say, well, this is accidentally, you know, it just happened. When it was. No, he was waiting until there was no way. And I'm going to make them laugh now. Because everybody else is laughing at them. But I want to tell you, God always gets the last laugh. He always gets the last laugh. God waits until your situation, listen close, seems like a joke. Sometimes your kid can be like the prodigal son. It seemed like a joke. Took his stuff and went his way, spent it all, and dad didn't hear from him. No emails, no phone calls, no text messages, nothing. But one day, but the father never quit looking. It seemed like a joke that his kid would ever come home. But let me tell you, parents, don't quit praying. Don't quit believing. Don't keep trusting. Amen. Don't let the devil think that ain't never going to happen. God's waiting sometimes until you give up. Then he comes in. I preached a sermon one time called The Benefit of a Doubt. Abraham had a good laugh, but we got one more to laugh. Stay with me. Genesis 18 and 9. And they said unto him, now the Lord comes and visits Abraham again. The time is getting closer, and there's two other angels with him, and he's headed, if I remember right, to Sodom and Gomorrah. But on his way, he passes by the tent. They make him a cup of coffee or whatever. They gave him a biscuit or something. And while he's there, he begins to talk to him about Sarah. He says, where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, behold, she's in the tent over there. And he said, well, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. In other words, her time had begun again. Her womb, as according to Hebrews, was quickened. And lo, Sarah, thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in her tent door, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. The Bible lets us know they were very old and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed too. We got them both laughing now. I'm 90 years old. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, now she's thinking this, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? This is ridiculous. This is so funny. This is crazy. It's driving me nuts. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Where did she doubt? God laughs when you doubt. Is anything too hard for me? Shall I bear surety bear a child which am old? And is there anything too hard, the Lord said, for himself, for God? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which was God had spoken unto him. And Abraham called the name of that son which was born unto him whom Sarah bare. He called his name Laughter, because now we both laughed him. We both, you remember, Sarah, when we laughed about it, we didn't think. Remember when we left Hebron, when we left our father's house way back then? I thought, you know, when the Lord prayed, I thought it was going to happen next week. But I'm sure glad it happened. I'm telling you, if God said it, it's going to happen. It may not happen on your timetable, but there's a song we used to sing. He's an on-time God. He's never too early and he's never too late. He's always on time. Can you say amen? And Abraham was 100 years old. He was a century old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And that old man was laughing. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah would have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age, 25 years before they could laugh about it. As they come tonight, I want to tell you that you may be going through a night season, a troubled season, a season of your life you don't understand. And you say, well, Lord, when? David said, how long, O Lord, will you allow my enemies to rise up against me? How long, O Lord? How much longer, God, am I going to have to go through? Let me tell you, God has an appointed time, a set time in your life to deliver what he promised you, no matter how many years ago it was. Don't give up on what God has promised. Amen. Jacob had gotten to the place where he had given up on Joseph. He said, I'm going to go to my grave pining away for my son. He's dead. And when those boys found Joseph there in Egypt, they didn't know it was him, but they brought back word to Daddy, said, Benjamin's got to come too. Daddy, there's this man up there. I don't know who that guy is, but he's the governor. And he's tough. And he wants little brother to come up there. And the old man said, Y'all have bereaved me of Joseph. You have bereaved me of Simeon. And now you want to bereave me of Benjamin. It ain't happening. Daddy, I'm telling you, he said, if we don't, he won't let Simeon go. And we're all going to die. He's the one who got the corn, Daddy. All right. God be with you. Let him go. But brother, when they found out, Joseph unmasked himself and said, I am Joseph whom you slew or threw in the pit. And when they recognized him, boy, they fell down, ooh, thinking in their hearts that he's going to slay them. Joseph had already done a lot of his crying before he unmasked himself. He said, is Daddy still alive? He said, yeah, go get him. Well, what kind of proof are we going to have? Daddy, he's not going to believe us. He said, load these wagons up. Load these wagons up with this stuff that I'm going to give you. And the Bible says that Jacob was there that day, and they said that, Daddy, they got there before the wagons did. And they said, Daddy, Joseph is alive. He said, shut up. I don't believe you. Don't mess with me. He said, no, Daddy, he's alive, and he's the governor of Egypt. I'm not kidding you this time, Daddy. He's alive. No, he's not. But the Bible says, when he saw the wagons loaded, the spirit of Jacob was revived. Woo! When he saw what was on that wagon, Not at their words, but he said, there ain't no way this is coming to me except Joseph is alive. And his spirit was revived. It seemed like a fairy tale, the Bible says to him, when they was telling him that he was alive. But when he saw the produce, amen, on the wagons, he said, he is alive. Let us go see him that I may see my son before he dies. I'm trying to tell somebody tonight, never let the dream die. Never let the dream die. Keep it alive. Revive yourself. Shake yourself. Never let the dream die. Would you stand with me tonight? God's got plans for you. Hallelujah. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. You got to endure it. It's yours if you'll just wait this thing out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to make you laugh. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you come down here, everybody? Bring your problems with you. Bring your headaches with you. Bring your night season down with you. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's spend a little time worshiping the Lord. My body, he touched my mind. Look what the Lord has done. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah, she said, who would have thought that a 90-year-old woman and a 100-year-old man. But I read a scripture, brother, that says he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God. That makes me smile just thinking about it. That he can do beyond what I think. He can do beyond that. Hallelujah. Woo. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you tonight. If you're in the night season, one person in the darkest hour of my life, this is what he told me. I never forget. He said, brother, let me tell you, I'm going to tell you when you're going to get over this. How you're going to know? He said, when you start laughing about it. I said, well, I ain't there yet. So I told him, I said, I ain't there yet. But there come a day. There come a day. I may laugh and cry at the same time, but I'm over it. Hallelujah. I can laugh about it and say, look what the Lord has done now. You see? Because back then it was all me. But now let's look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. He's got plans for every one of you. You're not here by accident. I told this brother here, you're not here by accident. None of you are here by accident. You don't just wander into the house of God. It's God intentionally directed you into this place tonight. So take this message to heart. And if you're in the night season, just remember, it won't last forever. Just quote this scripture, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. God's going to give me joy in the morning. It's not going to last forever. Hallelujah. And when you think about it, it does have an end. You kind of feel a little better already. You know, you kind of feel like, well, you know what? I can take some more because it is going to be over one of these days. Hallelujah. Lord, I come before you tonight. I'm thankful for your mercies, your blessings. I'm thankful, Lord, that you give us the grace that comes from heaven. Lord, help us to extend that grace and that mercy to others. Help us, Lord, to tell our story and be a witness, God, that others may laugh with us of what you brought us through. Share our stories of how we've overcome. Amen. All the trials, the darkness of our lives. Glory to God. Bless this congregation tonight. Keep them safe on the road, and we'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.